Well, Mickey, good evening, we're back. This is the first episode of the new season. We'll have my photograph taken live by Emilio. We'll put that up during the show. But it is the new season, Mickey. It's the first friendly that fans have been able to come to here at Dunstan. It's always good, isn't it?
No, oh, it's cracking. I love coming to Dunstan. The pies and the burgers are lush for the
start. Someone just walked past with a hot dog, smell absolutely fantastic. But as you can see just behind us, you might be able to see, the players are going to start to come out shortly. We're going to have this as the start of the show, but we'll have information on the bottom what we're going to be talking about. Put up your messages, subscribe of course as well, and so we'll hopefully be bringing you another fantastic season, won't we, Mickey?
Hopefully.
And also
we're in the playoffs.
Also, we've got someone from the Isle of May joining us as well,
Davy Steele.
Well, as I say, no talk about puffins because he got in trouble the last time, so we're not talking about that.
But barbecues.
This is the we're back. This is the Heat Army podcast. Well, we are back. Hello there, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We've got lots of messages coming in. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for joining the show. We're going to put up one. Well, we put up one earlier on there. Meg, she's put, hurry up, we're waiting. Well, we're here. We're on time. We've got a lot to talk about. We are hoping to have Davy Steele with us, who is new to the show. He's been a guest on, but he's going to be a regular co-host with us. But he's having island connection issues up there in Isle of May, isn't he, Mickey?
Just a bit.
He's rebooting. I'll try rebooting, etc. So there, hopefully he'll be back with us shortly. But lots to talk about. Players in and out. Fixtures have been announced. We've had a pre-season friendly in front of the fans down at Dunstan. There, it was absolutely lovely to be back pitch side and seeing a lot of familiar faces. If you haven't been with us before, please subscribe. It really does help. We want to reach more people, and hopefully this season there will be more people at the game, and we want more of them talking. And so if you're at the game and in the friendlies, tell them about the podcast next year. But you know, absolutely fantastic. Keep their messages coming in. We've got a load here. We'll quickly read them out before we get into it. Liv Walden's put, yippee, fab to be back. It certainly is. We've got Mason, evening everybody. Thank you, Mason. Charles Woff, the man that can get a photo of you without even looking. He's that good. And Craig Hilton, thank you very much. And Gordon, there we go, the enemy of Craig. and then we've got a Mr. Luke. Nice to see you back for the new season. Can't wait to play back in the National League with the new additions and fixtures. So, yeah. Right, lots to talk about. We'll start at the top. Obviously, players coming in, players going. Two lads that we've got to know their families. And, you know, they scored a lot of goals for Gateshead. Both went off the pastures new. Of course, Macaulay Langstaff and Kedwin Scott have moved on to Notts County. Always a fear, Mickey, when you've had two lads do exceptionally well.
It is. I mean, I come away from Hereford and I must admit, I was quite resigned that we'd probably lose Magga. I was hoping we'd be able to keep people away from Ked. Unfortunately, he's followed Magga as well. And I'm not just saying this because Meg's listening. Me and Trina said, God, Ked's gone to Notts County. We'll not get to speak to Meg. Yeah, that was the first thing we said.
I know it hit you pretty hard, Mickey. We're obviously talking a lot throughout the summer break from the podcast, and I was kind of resigned to the fact that we'd lose a player or two. The fact that we got money for these players and probably sell-ons as well, I don't know the full ins and outs. That is what this club needs to be doing now. We don't have a major money backing man. We need to bring in players cheap or free, develop them. Have them leave the club in a better position than they found them. They leave better players and the club profits from that financially. And that is the model that a club of our size has to do. And you've got to say, tick promotion, tick selling players. The club is surviving. And that is, you can't ask for much more, really.
It was disappointing losing them too. Really disappointing. Like I say, I was quite resigned to Magga because Ked's not slow, but Magga's like lightning.
Yeah.
And you get goals and you got pace like that. Teams are going to want him. Ked, I was hoping we could have kept. But like I say, I can't wish them. I can't begin to tell you how much I want them to succeed apart from two games next season.
Yeah.
I really do. And the one thing you've got to look at, when they sign them new contracts, if their release clause hadn't been put in, could have lost them two lads for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been sensible business from the club. And, obviously, Mr. Luke there, he put hit me really hard when Keds and Macca left. Of course, I mean, great goal scorers. But remember, these lads leave with the blessing of the club, the blessing of the fans. They've left with hero status. They left the club in a better position than they found it, and they left better players. It's an all-round win-win-win situation. Yeah. And hopefully they go on to do a lot of better things. We've got one here. First half versus Dunstan was tough to watch, but good minutes overall. We'll get through all of these messages. Don't worry if we don't get to them now. We have a guest waiting in the wings. Well, hopefully TV Steel will get a decent internet connection and be able to join us properly. But friend of the show and co-commentator with myself, Mark Carruthers, joins us. Hello, Mark. How are you doing?
Caught me unaware there. I was watching telly. Good. Good to be back and good to good to have the season back, or part of it anyway. Obviously, as you were saying there, been an eventful summer already, and I'm sure there's more to come.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, as I said, it was a kind of win-win, but it was with a tinge of sadness. You don't want to see good players leaving, great players even, scoring a lot of goals. But the club has managed to replace players of the level that we've moved into.
I think the key thing is when you've got players in form and you've got players attracting attention from, I think we can safely say, a bigger club, and a club with more financial backing. There's two things you've got to do. One is you get the best possible deal you can, which the directors did when they negotiated the new contracts with the two players. They got release clauses in there for a reason. I think Mickey made a great point in saying that, those two players could have been lost for nothing if those deals weren't signed. And the second thing is you make sure you replace them. Now, looking at last season, you had Campbell, Langstaff, Scott and Blackett. This season, you could argue there's five forwards now with the new signings, with Paul sticking around as well. So there's a lot of competition. There's players that have played at this level and higher. You've got Tom Allen, who's come in, who's very, very good player and very versatile as well. So I think they've done good business. They've made a bit of money. It's been reinvested. And I think fair play to the club for that. But as you say, it was sad to see the two lads leave because they were such a big part of last season. But, it's all about the future now and moving on.
It certainly is. I mean, we've got the pictures of the players coming in. You just mentioned Tom Allen there. Of course, there was a lot of rumours at the back end of the season when we knew he was going to be leaving Newcastle. I think it's safe to say the move from Owen Bailey last summer will definitely have raised the eyebrows and maybe the attention of players leaving Newcastle, that Gateshead's a viable option, especially now they're in a higher league.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you get players come out of Premier League clubs, the big thing you look at is how they react to that. You know, how do they react? What's the mentality like? Are they going to see Gateshead as a step down from under-23s football? Where, let's be honest, you know, Tom's played in the FA Cup for Newcastle. He's made first team appearances. Owen captained the 23s. Got very close to being involved in that first team squad. Played a few friendlies for the first team. But the mentality is right. They want to come in and make a name for themselves. And I think a big part of that is down to not just themselves, but down to what Gateshead have put in place, what Mike Williamson, what Ian Watson, Louis Story have put in place, because it's obviously it's a professional club. But I could name professional clubs that don't have professional standards that are in the Football League, whereas I look at Gateshead and the standards here are phenomenal. So I think Tom will follow Owen's lead. And we shouldn't forget Dan Langley as well, who I know you're going to talk about, but they'll come in and show the sort of attitudes that will match what's already in the dressing room and they'll only enhance what's already there.
Of course. I mean, if anyone might have seen, I don't know if by the time I left Dunstan on Tuesday night, Dan Langley was being put through his paces quite heavily. So, you know, it wasn't just a case that he didn't play. He got some minutes of exercise and training in there after the game. So that shows the lad's got determination. He could be, you know, let's be honest, there's a lot of players have come from Premier League clubs with a big time Charlie mentality of, well, if I'm not playing, I'm not bothering. And you know, we're not seeing that at the moment. And of course, I don't expect anything less from Mike Williamson and Ian Watson signing, because we know that they don't just sign players on ability. It's about mentality as well.
It is. And I think with Dan, I've seen enough of him for Newcastle's 23s to know first and foremost that his mentality is what Gateshead need. You know, he's not blind to the challenges that lie ahead. He is going to have some games this season where he's going to be tested physically, which, as he says in his own words, shouldn't be a problem given he's 6 foot.
He's
a big lad. So I think the thing he's aware of is what goalkeepers have done in the past after being on loan at Gateshead. Yeah. So we look at, you know, Ainsley Pears, people like that. They've come in, they made an impact, and they've gone back to their parent clubs in a far better state than they arrived at Gateshead. And I think that's a challenge for Dan. Newcastle's goalkeeper pool is, there's a lot of people in there, a lot of very good goalkeepers, and he wants to prove himself during this loan. And that's what Mike and Ian have done really well. They've brought in players that have got a point to prove. You'll have to excuse my dog in the background here. She's going nuts, if you can hear her. But yeah, they brought in players that have got a point to prove, and that's worked in the past. And I've got absolutely no doubt it'll continue working going forwards.
Definitely. I mean, I'm just having we've brought in a few players in the summer. Obviously, Dan Jarvis has come in from Wrexham. We've got a message from the Wrexham podcast that we've managed to have some communication with. We're going to have them on before the correspondent fixtures. And likewise, I think, and they wished us well with Dan. So obviously thought of well when he signed on for us. So he looks a versatile midfielder. And I think he'll add to Gateshead's midfield so far.
I think the thing, weirdly, one of my son's schoolmates, his dad is a Wrexham fan.
Yeah.
And he suggested that he would fit into Gateshead's style perfectly. So another signing. And again, I know, speaking to people in and around the club, that he's impressed so far. Mm-hmm. So this is it's a really interesting signing, one that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. No. And it's one that I think could be a little bit of a surprise package. So looking forward to seeing him.
Definitely. And of course, I would say, well, we're just talking about players coming in. Another player, which I was really sad to see leave. I thought he was a fantastic servant of the club. Never, never, ever let us down, no matter what position he was called into. And that was Jack Hunter. Of course, he's moved on to pastures new with Halifax. And we wish him all the best. You're not meeting a nicer lad. And obviously, he's at that maybe stage of his career where he thought, well, this is my chance to go and play away from home and try and do something a little bit further afield.
I think you're spot on. Jack's been excellent. And I think he's someone who the attitude's always been spot on with Jack. You say there, whether he's played in midfield or centre back. He's done a job. There was a couple of games towards the end of last season, I think, where he played centre back and he was excellent. Was it York, I think, possibly as well, midway through the season? There was one game we did together, Dave, where he played centre back and he was just superb.
I think it might have been the York game. There's been a few, but I mean, I defy anybody to beat him in the air when he's got a chance to see the ball coming. He's just a phenomenal player, and I wish him all the best.
And I know how much, obviously, Davey rates him as well, don't you, Dave?
Mickey.
Yeah, I think he's a very good player.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good player. I was quite surprised. I've got to be honest, I was quite surprised when he went to Halifax. Given that the fact that he couldn't nail a permanent place in our side.
Do you think that could be... Player. Playing devil's advocate, do you think that could have been a case of, like, maybe with Carl Magne in his first stint, that he was very good in every position but never nailed down one solid position to stake his claim?
Maybe, but I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad player because
You wouldn't complain if he was in your starting lineup in midfield or defence, so you know, definitely. But a player, Mickey, that you're excited to see play, that's coming as well, Aaron Martin.
It's nice that we've got Will of Repair Shop. So if you've got a table that needs tarting up,
adds a different dynamic to the strike force of that we've had. Of course, Kevin Scott, yes, he's the more physical of the front three that we play, but he's going to add a different dynamic if we need to change the game up. And sometimes you're going to have to knuckle down and maybe go along once or twice. There's a target man for you.
Hopefully he'll knock the ball up to him and he'll bring the midfield and the forwards together. That's my hope. He looks like a big target man.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I mean, we haven't seen a great deal of Aaron Martin play, but what I have seen, I've been very impressed. And I'm hoping that he can hold the ball up, not only score goals, hold the ball up and bring the midfield into the play and get himself back into the box and nod them in. So.
And we've got
different.
Yeah, we've got a couple other players that have come in as well. Obviously, we've got Kenton Richardson, and a player of that was on loan at from Sunderland at Spennymoor last season. I can't really remember much about him. I just know that the games against Spennymoor were very tough. But it's of the mould of what Gator like to do, get a local hungry young lad in. And when he came on in the second half at Dunstan, looked quite strong, and he wasn't really tested.
He wasn't, but I remember Spennymoor when we played them away last year. I can't remember who it was. Went in on him and got a free kick. And then the next chance, Kenton nailed, I'm sure it was Ked. And he nailed Ked straight back. And I thought, you've got something about you. So, and then we've signed him in the summer.
Yeah.
So I quite like a centre half who's got a little black book.
And finally as well, Lewis Knight come in, who looks like it's going to, I'm not going to say the next Macaulay Langstaff, because Lewis Knight is Lewis Knight, but he's a nippy, fast player that'll help us when we like to break fast on the break.
Lewis was someone I saw during his time at Bradford Park Avenue. I think the thing with him is he can play a number of positions. He can play just off a front man in like a number 10 sort of role. But his pace, his finishing ability, I mean, you saw on the video that's been put out, he's just a very, very good finisher. And what I like, again, about the business that's been done, there are so many options at the top end of the pitch now. You know, they can go two up front, they can go three up front, they could go three, four up front if they wanted, but they've all got a little bit something different about them. I think when you look at, the one we haven't discussed, I'm sure we're going to, is Paul Blackett, who has started pre-season very well. Now, a fit and firing Paul Blackett will get goals at this level. I know he's not played at this level, but I know for a fact he will.
But he stepped up, and I mean, even against Charlton when he came on, you know, he ran them ragged still, you know, just like Macaulay had done before him.
Look, there shouldn't be any doubts about him, because wherever he's been, he scored goals. You know, his mentality's right. I've got a piece coming out with him over the next sort of 2 days or so, talking about the challenge that lies ahead of him. Now, whether he plays half an hour or 90 minutes, he's going to get goals and be dangerous. I know that's been a big, you know, there's been some jokes made about it on social media and stuff, but it's true. You know, he is always a threat, whether he starts a game or whether he comes off the bench. I'll say this now, Paul Blackett will get big goals for Gator this season. He'll earn them points and he will get, it may well be last minute equalisers. It may well be a 1-0 winner, you know, in a game you don't expect to get 3 points, but Paul Blackett will get big goals this season.
And not only that, his work rate, and we know what work rate he's got, and for him to have been kept out of the starting lineup by Macca and Ked says a lot about the players they were and how they came on. So I'd imagine that obviously the new lads that have come in will have to step up to that level, because that is the way it goes. And everyone's saying, Mickey, turn your volume up. I did see it was very low. You have to speak right into the mic, mate. People can't hear you.
We should say, I'm sure Blackett still hit double figures last season, didn't he?
He did, yeah. He didn't get the 11, so, yeah.
You know, it's we know what he can do, and, you know, more importantly, he knows what he can do, because the interview I did with him, as I say, when it comes out, he's talking about the new lads that have come in and getting possession of the shirt. And it just will give a bit of an insight into his mentality ahead of the season.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And another player as well that's left for pastures new is Danny Greenfield. He's went locally, which is, you know, I thought we might have kept a hold of him, but obviously, you know, you don't know why players might not want to stay or want to move on to new things, but he's went to Spennymoor, and I think he'll do very well there. It's, we know he can handle that level without a doubt. He was probably one of the better players in it. The year the season was curtailed. You know, I think they've got a good signing on the hands at Spennymoor there.
Very good.
Yeah, Mickey, we'll have to get you right into that mic, so you're right on top of it, because we can barely hear you. There we go. Say hello for us, get into it.
Hello.
Just a little bit better. We'll have to have it speaking louder. Right, while we're on, looking at things, we've got the fixtures coming along the bottom here. These are the first few fixtures. Dagenham Redbridge away is where we start. Then we're at home to Barnet. And then we have the return of the deadly duo and Kedwin Scott and Macaulay Langstaff with Notts County on Tuesday, the 16th of August. And then away to Dorking. Not an easy start, but I don't think there is any easy games this season.
There's not. I mean, you look at that and you've got, you know, three former Football League clubs in the first four games. And the other one is a club very much on the rise in Dorking. I mean, their rise up the league has been phenomenal. You know, as a club, they are bouncing new to this level. That'll be one of probably their second home game, I'd imagine. So they'll want to make an impact. But I also look at it and I think this Gateshead squad have got nothing to fear. And I don't think they've got that in them. You know, I look front to back from Dan Langley to the strikers. They know they can make an impact at this level. And if I can just say as well, because I saw a little bit floating around on social media after the Dunstan game, people shouldn't read anything into pre-season. I saw something about three games, three defeats. And, you know, two of those have come against one a Championship side, one a Premier League side, and the other one, the first 45 against Dunstan, couldn't have been any further away from the starting lineup.
I think you had three first-teamers in there, didn't you, in the first half, and a lot of youngsters trying to stake their claim and trying to show something. But in the second half against Dunstan, once we brought on, say, the big boys, so to speak, once you brought on the first-teamers, the possession rate drastically changed. And, you know, not for the want of trying, the goalkeeper did very well. Well, two goalkeepers for Dunstan managed to claw them away. But chances were created, and wasn't the we'll say, we don't know what the full-strength side is at the moment. We don't know what the starting lineup will be, but it's a very good side. But, you know, I think there's definitely more to come, and it's minutes in the tank at the minute, isn't it? And getting people to gel.
My point being, though, that how many pre-season games left? Three now, is it four?
I think the Darlington ones went today. So the full team will be at Hebburn.
Hebburn, Harrogate, yeah. and one more possibly. Now, yeah. It doesn't matter if Gator don't win one of those games. I mean, no. It matters little. All that matters, and you know, Mike Williamson's said this to me, that he's sole focus in pre-season, is making sure everyone's got minutes in the tank, as you said.
Yeah.
Tactically, they know where they are first day of the season, and that everything on and off the pitch is ready for that Dagenham and Redbridge game. So, you know, yes, it's not nice to lose games. Nobody likes to lose games. But, and by the way, this is not just Gateshead fans. I've seen it across the board this week where fans of other clubs have reacted to pre-season defeats. And I just can't get my head around it. Like, unless you're being thumped.
Yeah. You
know, I mean thumped. Then fair enough. But it's not. That's not what's happening. I mean, you can look at it another way and say the Newcastle game, they've played two really strong Newcastle sides. And it was still only 2-1 with 10 minutes left.
Was the 15 internationals playing against them? You know, and we held our own for a good 60 minutes by all accounts. We pulled one back. It was a good goal. We opened up Premier League defence there, you know. There's positives to come from that. From what we've seen, obviously can't see it. I didn't see any highlights from the Sunderland one. But, you know, looking, things look like they're going in the right direction. Remember, we've got... How many new players we talked about there? 6. Got to bet in. You've got to be realistic. You've got to give a chance. Remember, the team that we had last season was more or less together for 18 months, if not a little bit more, the vast majority of them. So you've got to give that time to build. And they say, I fully believe in the process, as Mike Williamson always says, and with Ian Watson, that they're not panicking. If you see them panicking, that's when you should panic. That's all I say.
I'm fairly certain, though, and you guys will know more about this than I will, but you'll have seen Gateshead teams have unbelievable pre-seasons where the thump teams left, right and centre. And then day one of the season, things have fallen flat. I mean, I remember many years ago Newcastle having a pre-season where they went on tour to Sweden and they were beating teams by double figures. And then within 30 seconds of the first game of the season, they were 1-0 down at Everton and got beat 4-0. You know, it's not... It just doesn't matter. You know, teams can have a terrible pre-season, but as long as they're ready tactically and fitness-wise for that first day of the real season, that's what matters. That's all that matters.
Definitely, definitely.
I remember Gated winning all the friendlies, and they too were thumping people, and we got relegated at the end of that season. So, if it means we're going to win the league, I want to stay top. I'd lose all the friendlies.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of them things, isn't it, where it's nice to have football back, but you've just got to have that little bit of realism to what pre-season is. You're not going to go out, you're not going to see thrillers, and if you do, it's maybe you're not playing a team where you're getting any benefit out of it if you're scoring a load of goals against the side. Say Liv Walden's put exciting times ahead, and Darren has put results in pre-season mean nothing. It's all about getting fitness levels, tactics right, and players gelling together, not results. But you know, you can take the result out of it. The second half performance, we were just all over Dunstan like a rash. And let's be honest, that's a good Dunstan side. They will do well this year. That's the best Dunstan side I've seen in a long time in pre-season. They've seemed to have made some good signs. Their wingers, both on the left and right-hand side, I think are going to cause trouble in that league. And if they're not near the playoffs, I'll be very, very shocked. Taylor Howard-Tawit has put pre-season, just a glorified training game. Well, talking about that, we'll put it up in the background, actually, where we're talking about Dunstan on Saturday, Tuesday night. A lot of trialists there, a lot of college kids. But, I mean, just looking there, you've got Magny, Womble, Tinkler in there, and Cos Montgomery in goal. I thought Womble looked okay. Obviously, it's not as much as what you can see. You know what Magny is going to give you, and an exposed goalkeeper is always going to be under pressure. But I think, you know, Connor Panny, as we've seen there, he got a decent shot and a decent free kick as well. You know, he's still developing, isn't he? He's still quite an exciting prospect.
He'll need game time this season, won't he? That's the big thing with Panny. He needs to get game time and to get that experience at this level. But you look at him physically, he's a big lad for his age. We know he's got ability. We know his mentality's right. He's bought into this group. And I've got no doubt he'll go on and have a big future with this club.
Definitely. And he's going to fill out as well. I mean, we talked about his height. I mean, he's winning going in for challenges there. We're just seeing on the highlights. Once he masters his own body, because he's, you know, I'm not saying he's a giraffe, he's not gangly, but once he starts to be able to hold him and compose himself when players are pushing on him, he's going to be even better than what he is at the moment. And that's an exciting prospect to have, because we've seen it happen with Mellish, we've seen it happen with Tom White, and hopefully we can see it happen with Connor.
I think you can hear us, definitely.
Yeah, I think you might have to change that battery again, Mickey, because you're completely fading out now on that one. So I'll just mute you so there's no... Oh, he's went off there. I'll just remove him while we're... while he's doing that. But
just another point on Tuesday, how lovely was it to see Monty getting 90 minutes and, you know, making some really high catching saves. I saw the video Jack put out today of him training. It's just lovely to see him back.
Well, Dan Langley as well. I know he's obviously part of the coaching team as well, but if he's pulling out performances, he's going to be making life difficult for Mr. Langley to stake his claim. And we all know that Monty is of this level, if not even higher. Obviously being unfortunate with injuries. Suppose Rooney really left the club to pursue first team football at Chesterfield when the pandemic happened, and that was the only football happening, so he didn't leave under a cloud. But he's back, and imagine he'll be pushing for a starting place this season. And just here, just on the Connor Panny, this was the free kick. There we go. Just didn't dip in time there, but no, definitely developing in the right way.
It is, and the whole squad is. I think it's a great little lesson for the younger lads that played, by the way. I think it gives them, just a bit of an insight as to the levels they need to play, the levels they need to hit to play for Gateshead. And I think looking at Dunstan and looking at the players they've got that we all know, you know, your John Shaws, your Phil Turnbulls, your Craig Baxters that have done it at this level for year upon year and higher, where Gateshead are now, it's just a brilliant education for the younger lads, and I know for a fact they'll have learned from it, and hopefully they'll take that into their own seasons this season with the academy, and hopefully they can replicate what happened last year.
Certainly can. Well, just before I go on about that, I mean, Dan Ward's goal was a beautiful finish. He cut in lovely. I was at the other end of the pitch, but managed to record it on what I was recording to get a few bits and bobs, and it's a beautiful finish. But you talk about players coming away from playing against the likes of John Shaw in defence. He's a wily character. He knows what he's doing. I'm not saying he's dirty. I'm not saying Phil Turnbull's dirty, but they've been playing long enough to know that the little tricks of the trade where they can get one up over a young player. And as you say, they'll come out of that having learnt a hell of a lot.
They will, and it's games like this. You know, I've got no doubt we'll see more of them at Hebburn on Tuesday. I'm sure there'll be a few of the young lads will get game time there as well. So this is what pre-season's about again. It, you know, it's getting those younger lads to get some experience. You say it at Premier League clubs where, yes, they may well take 22 players to a friendly lower league club, and the majority of it will be the senior players, but they will throw, you know, 2, 3 or 4 of their academy lads or the under-23s lads in there to give them game time. And it's nice to see Mike and Buster giving these younger lads an opportunity to do that.
And just while we're on about this game as well, someone sent a message here. There was a few trialists in, and one was recognised as Lyra Kasani, who was on loan from Doncaster Rovers a few years ago. He's been released. I thought he had a decent second half. First half, a little bit quiet, but I thought he looked good in the second half when we had better players around him. He looked dangerous down that left-hand side.
Yeah, we didn't really see a lot of Hassani during that loan spell, did we? It was kind of, I think it was just before the season was curtailed. But he looked tidy in spells on Tuesday. You are right that I think he got better in the second half when maybe a little bit of responsibility was taken off him in midfield when the sort of more senior lads were around him. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I'd imagine he may well play on Tuesday again, or even Saturday. I keep forgetting about Saturday's game. You know, he may well play over the next couple of games and see what happens with him. The one thing I'd say, midfield is an area where they are fairly well stocked now.
Can we hear you now, Mickey?
Hello?
Yeah, we can just hear you. I don't know what's going on. Hold on.
There we go.
There we go.
That's better.
That's right, Mickey. Make you turn it down, man.
Well, you mentioned Tuesday as well. Of course, it's going to be a better squad that is going to Hebburn. If anyone just tuned in and didn't know, the Darlington game has been cancelled. So it was going to be the squad split over two games on Tuesday night. But now going to Heaven, and Heaven are a different club to what they were, or a different squad, should I say, to what they were last season. I think there'll be a bit more of a test, this one. They're looking to obviously improve their fortunes this season under new management. Do you see this one being just as good a test as Dunstan, Mark?
Well, Heaven have done some really good business this summer, and they've brought in a lot of very experienced players. A number have come from Morpeth, actually. Liam Henderson, Joe Walton has gone there. Wayne Phillips has gone there. So a lot of players, again, that have played higher. So it will be a test. It'll be physical. But Daniel Moore's made a really good start. And again, I know it's only pre-season, but they've put in some decent performances so far. Beat Sunderland's under-23s last week. Won comfortably against Jarrow on Tuesday night. So it'll be a really good test. I think the pitch may well suit Gateshead more. Mm-hmm. It's always a good pitch at the at Heaven, and you know it's more sort of the style that Gateshead like playing on. I think Dunstan was a little bit bumpy by their own admission. So it will be a good test. I'm looking forward to seeing how Heaven do this season under Dan. But it's for me, it's a perfect preseason game for Gateshead, and I think, although hopefully there will be one more preseason friendly to put in, I think they've got a really good preseason lined up. Looking ahead of them, Spenny's going to be a great test on Saturday against a very, very good side that I've got no doubt will be right up there next season in the National League North. And then obviously that the game against Harrogate Town is a real step up, and I think we'll know a lot more about what may well start on day one against Harrogate. Not that I think they'll put out the first, give everything away and say this is our first choice 11.
We'll have a better understanding of who's going to be where in midfield and things like that. Right, just before we go in a little bit further, we'll have got to say a big thank you to Dave Allen. He contacted me and asked if I wanted to give something away as a prize, and I said, of course, we'll gladly take any prize. It's a souvenir of the last game of the season, but it's signed by Macaulay Langstaff. It is the programme from the championship presentation game, signed by Macaulay Langstaff, and you can win that. But bear in mind, we're not posting it. You've got to pick it up from the Harrogate game or the Heaven game. To win, you have to simply type hashtag Heed in the chat on Facebook or on YouTube. So hashtag Heed, and that will get you in. We'll draw that at the end of the show, and I'll keep reminding you about that as well. So big thank you to Dave Allen on that as well. And of course, it's we've got still lots to talk about. We haven't managed those. I did ask Mickey, but he wasn't able to get in contact. I know he's been busy this week. But the Costa Blanca Cup, Inspired, they won it. We're going to definitely get them on. Magnificent achievement. I spoke to Bernard McWilliams at Dunstan. He was over there for it. He said it was an absolute joy to witness. And we can't wait to speak to the lads about that, because that is a fantastic thing that has happened. And for Gateshead to be associated with it is just a little feather in the cap. And say them lads deserve everything what they got out there. Definitely. And
can I flag something else up?
Yes.
Sorry, Dev, you may well have been going on at this, so I apologise. But the club had an award win at the non-league paper awards as well. One club of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem a long time ago now. I think it was, 6 weeks ago? But, a great award to win. Now, it wasn't just about what's gone on the pitch. This was about the club's relationship with the local community.
Yeah.
It was about the charity work that's been done, about the walk in football, about the support for the Heed at home. It was everything, really, and all the work that Ben Clark's done with the community and people like that. So that was a really amazing award to win at what is a national awards as well.
Definitely. And to be getting the recognition like that, the hard work of everyone that's put in, the time and effort and love, sweat and tears, from where the club's reputation was due to a certain little Italian, the club has built itself up in such a short period of time. Bigger clubs haven't built their reputations up from, nearly going under and things like that in that type of time. And it's just a massive shot in the arm. And it just, as you say, it feels like a long time ago, that news. And of course, the club also won an award for best sports club off Gator Council as well. That was voted for as well. So the club being recognised locally and nationally is can't be a bad thing, can it?
Not at all. Absolutely. Not at all.
And credit to everyone at the football club and foundation lads as well. Lads and lasses, absolutely brilliant. Someone had to mention the Italian, didn't they? Ruined my team completely. Mark, how will you support that guy without choking him? I never know.
It's done. It's in the past.
It's in the past.
But I'll never forget it.
The only Italians we're going to talk about is Panis. I hear it's a good restaurant, and I wonder if you'd like to give a free
meal. Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder when we're invite over there for free food is.
Well, when we find out, we can do a podcast from Panis sometime this season. But I don't know, Mark, if you're able to stay with us or not, but as I say, just what your predictions are for this season. Mine is just going to be staying in the league and stability. That's what I want.
Well, I got asked to do the National League season preview for the 442 season preview special that they do every, I think it's on 2 weeks, actually, sort of towards the end of July. And part of that, I mean, this was done sort of 4 weeks ago now, so it was done before anyone had really signed anyone. And I think I had Gateshead at 15th, which was possibly being a bit safe. I think mid-table wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility. But I look at when you start getting into that top 10, 12, you start coming into serious money. You start coming into where, you know, players are, or clubs are plucking players from Football League clubs. And there is a lot of money at that top end. And I think when you see... you see clubs like Wrexham who are paying big money, obviously. But even if you look beyond them and you look beyond Notts County, there are still clubs that you could argue Gator are every bit as big as, but they're spending quite substantial money. You know, I'm not going to name them, but, you know, you probably know who they are deep down. That tells you how strong this league is towards the top end. But then I look in the lower half of the table, and I don't think there's anything for Gator to fear. I think when you look at it, a lot of the players in this squad have played at this level or have played higher. And although the club as a whole is going into the level again, and I said this to Mike Williamson on Tuesday, that does he feel the club has to prove themselves again? They probably don't, because a lot of the lads who are there have played, as I said, they've played at this level. You know, you look at the management team, they've been at this level as players or as coaches. So what would be good is to it is a difficult start of the season. There's no getting away from that. But if you can pick up a couple of wins in those first four games, and maybe just settle everyone down and then really kick on. But I think there's enough in that squad to really push towards mid-table. But let's, you know, not beat around the bush. Staying in the league is the first target, simple as that. Nobody will say it at the club. But I think as supporters, that has to be the sole focus first and foremost.
Yeah, I said anywhere between 14th and 18th. That was my prediction.
Yeah. I think I'll take staying up by goal difference or anything, as long as we stay in that league and build the club up. Any position next year outside of relegation is a move forward for the club, and that's obviously the strides that the club are trying to make. We've got a message from Sam Pendleton. He's put, "Evening, lads. I hope you're well. Shame about losing Langstaff and Scott. However, I wish them all the best for the future, and they'll always be welcomed back with applause as they helped us win the league. Good to see new signings, in particular forward. Looking forward to seeing Aaron Martin. Of course, you see players scoring goals on highlight packages and things, but he does look like he's going to add a different dimension to the forward line at Gated. And also as well,
his overhead kicks count when he plays for us.
Yeah, a hell of an overhead kick. Remember, you can enter to win the signed match day programme from the last game of the season, signed by Macaulay Langstaff. You can claim your prize if you are lucky enough to win against Hebben or at the Harrogate game. So if you'd like to win that, and a massive thanks to Dave Allen, of course, who just sent a message there. I didn't manage to get the picture before we came on, but he had his photo took with the Costa Blanca Cup today. The lads were buzzing, and so they should be. So hashtag heed if you want to enter the competition. You may be able to see down, we've changed the background a little bit on our broadcast here. I'll just remove that from the screen from now. Our sponsors are still Northern Print Solutions. We'd like to say a big thank you to them, because without them, we wouldn't be able to broadcast like this, and we wouldn't be able to bring you match day commentaries as well. And Mark, say we've got some big games to cover this year, and it's going to be a real step up in opposition. I know we've obviously come hand in hand with promotion, but you know, we just mentioned Wrexham there. It is a case of Hollywood coming to town when they come now. It was always a big game when you played them anyway, but now they've got that, I'm not going to say circus, but they've got that attention now that not many National League or non-league clubs have.
Well, it's funny because no one ever mentions their owners. So, yeah. Do you know what? Right, I think it's interesting how the two guys have got in there, because it would be easy for them to. They are flashing the cash. Don't get us wrong; they're spending big. They're trying to get in the Football League, but they're also doing it with a sellout crowd. They're also doing it where they own their stadium. You know, there's investment in the local community. It's being done. It's being done properly. Yeah, exactly, Mickey. And it's being done where, you know, they're not just investing in the team, they're investing in everything around the club, which is, for me, the way rich owners should do it. So I look at, funny enough, they're on telly now, but I look at Man City, and the owners have gone in there and spent ridiculous amounts of money, but they've also strengthen links with the local community. They've got a training ground. That's the envy of anything around them.
You've been there, Dad, campus, so I imagine you have.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I mean, just on a side note, I thought Etihad was better than Wembley when I visited it. On the outside, everything about it. And I wasn't even there for a match. And I can only imagine what it's like on a big game.
You know, the lads at Wrexham, the lads, as if I know them, the owners at Wrexham, they've gone in there with the purpose of getting the club in the Football League. Yes, they've invested heavily in the team. I think because of that, everyone will raise their games against them. Caroline, just call us Mark, honestly. you know, you look at... So say Salford, when Salford were going through the leagues, and you think they had a target on the back because of that, and they, we know for a fact, because we saw it with Gateshead first game that season, the levels were raised when Luke Armstrong scored twice. That was raised because of what Salford represented. It'll be the same for Wrexham, so it won't be easy for them. No. You know, they can try and make it easier by investing heavily, but it's still going to be a difficult game for them when they come to the International Stadium. I've got no doubt Gateshead will give them a game. And I honestly think this season, if Gateshead can, and I said this on Jack's, on the documentary last week, if Gateshead can harness the energy that was in the stadium against Darlington in the second half, and on that final day of the season against Hereford, they will take points off bigger clubs this season at home. Firmly believe that, because what we witnessed, Dave, you know, Mickey, obviously you were there as well. What we witnessed against Hereford was really special.
Yeah.
And the club needs that going forwards. Not to just sneak over 1,000. It needs to get, the people of Gateshead need to get behind this football club, because it'll go even further than it has already if the crowds get bigger. And that's what's needed. And I firmly believe there will be bigger crowds this year.
Well, let's certainly hope so. And let's hope the BT Sports might even grace us with a game to show what we're capable of doing. Because I thought we might have got one in the early round of fixtures away from home. I wasn't expecting a home one. But, you know, time will tell. But hopefully, as I think I commented on one of the posts, hopefully we can make it so we can't be ignored. That's the best way to get on TV. Taylor Howie, Taylor Howie has put Salford are in serious debt now. I'm not sure. I haven't haven't read anything of that, but they have spent a lot of money to get where they are. If Hollywood's coming to Gateshead, could they bring us some floodlights and leave them, please? Well, we were told last year that there was development on that front. I don't know how close they are to happening, but I'm sure we'll all notice if they are on a match day coming up. But as I say, it will be the nice light nights coming up and moderately warm as well at Gated Stadium before we start to get them horrendous nights where me and Mark have to cuddle and over the microphone.
Dave, that's every night. You know that.
Oh, it is. But
just got awkward
I'm glad that's become public now.
As it has.
It just got awkward towards the end of last season when Dicker and Colin were in there as well.
What are you two doing? It's when Mark grabs me hand, everyone thinks it's affection. It's not, he's just trying to get us to shut up. Well, I've got Mark on, myself and Mark, we mentioned it at the back end of last season. We've been fortunate enough to have been asked by Gavin Webster to help out on his new podcast, Hotbed. Unfortunately, we've only ever been in one together, haven't we? And then I had to leave due to a COVID test.
You say unfortunately, but, you know.
I think we're about 8 or 9 episodes in now, and it's a history of Northeast football right from the start of the Football League. We're up to 1896 now, I think it is, or just past round about that area.
And towards the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
At the moment, we're trying to get the information out of it, but football wasn't reported on the way it was now, the way Mark does it in glorious fashion. But we're not far away, we're only a couple of months away from the likes of Gateshead coming into it and a lot of the local stuff. So if you do like the or want to find out about lots of local heroes that maybe have passed you by, there's been some. John Campbell's one that I learned about the other week, who played for Sunderland, hell of a goal scoring record and sadly passed away young. So if you'd like to hear me, Mark and Gavin going through the football archives about Northeast football right from the start. Non-league football as well is going to come into it shortly because a lot of non-league clubs get formed. It's called Hotbed. It's available through Felt. Now, there is a Patreon if you want to listen to it earlier with some extras, or you can listen to it where it is released. So just search Hotbed. It's on Spotify and on iTunes. So give that a listen. And obviously, Gavin's the one that makes everybody laugh on that. And me and Mark just... Well, I talk rubbish, Mark talks information. If you'd like to have a little listen to that, we will get an advert for that to go.
That's someone professional on there, Mark.
He brings the class to the show, Mark. Sorry, he brings the class.
Oh, I thought you said
class. Right. I haven't got any adverts made for this season yet. I am going to make some new ones when I get some footage and things, but please do like and subscribe. That's what we'd like you to do. In fact, I can play one from last season. This is my kids telling you what to do, and please do, because we want to reach more people. And if you like and subscribe and share, it will help us. Yeah, and they made it to the championship presentation, but my daughter found it a little bit overwhelming with all the drunk people shouting behind her. So, bless her. But they were there to witness it, the main thing. We've got Davey Steele was supposed to be on the show tonight, and he's up on Isle of May out in the middle of nowhere, and his internet connection tonight was awful. He was devastated. We did manage to, well, he heard us, we could hear him. But he's put a tweet up, and I've just retweeted it there, but I'll read it out. He's put, frustrated as the island's internet has let me down at the crucial moment, to make my debut on the podcast. Gutted. Hope you're having a great show. And he's got a picture with the mug. So yeah, so we'll get Davey on. But it looks beautiful where he is, mind, up there on the Isle of May. So hopefully we'll get him on very, very soon on future shows and no problems. The there is going to be a competition. If you have just joined us, hashtag Heed, and you can win a signed Macaulay Langstaff programme from the Championship game. Nice bit of history to have there. Dave Allen gave us that, thankfully, and we'll give that away very soon. So in the chat, whatever you're watching on, please do. And also remember, if you're watching live, not if you're watching on the repeat, we'll put that up there and we'll give it another couple of minutes to go for people on there. I mean, I think there's only 14 people entered. We've got 31 watchings. Come on, get into it. It costs you nothing to enter. We've got a message here. What's our nearest game this season? York, I would imagine it is. Then Halifax after that. And then you're probably talking Scunthorpe and a couple others after that.
Oldham, maybe.
Oldham. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's hopefully get Oldham this year. I'd like to go to that game. I think that'd be a classic football ground to go to.
Always Baltic there.
Sorry?
Apparently it's always absolutely Baltic there.
Oh, it'll be like a home from home, won't it? One second, we've got careful boys, I'll catch your antics on a long lens. So Mark, we're going to have to keep it under the table. looking forward to Spennymoor game on Saturday. Of course, we haven't mentioned that. If you're going down to Spennymoor, enjoy it. I can't, I don't think I'll be able to make that one, sadly. It should be a very good run out against some familiar faces down there at Spennymoor. I think James Curtis is into his 40th year now, and he's still running wild there down at Spennymoor. And we've got a message here, Mr. Luke, he's heading down to Spennymoor as well on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I'd say it's always a good place to visit. Always a tough game, and even though it's pre-season, I'm expecting a tough game down there as well for that one. But we'll learn from it, and the players will learn from it. Say we've got 1 second. Let's just double check the time here because it's disappeared. Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left to withdraw this. So hashtag Heed if you want to be entered into this competition, and you can win the Macaulay Langstaff thing there, Mark. See, have you got anything to plug in? Because I don't know, are you still doing the Northern Goals show?
We will be. Well, yeah, I assume so. I need to speak to Sunderland Echo about that. Looking forwards, I've got pieces with Mike Gregoli and Paul Blackett coming out over the next week or so. Three very different interviews. Obviously, the Blackett one's more personal to him, and Mike obviously looking at pre-season. Greg sort of looking at the players that have come in and how things are have moved on from last season. Because I think one of the things I've sort of stressed is that it's kind of important to put last season in the past. It's been celebrated. It's been done with. Yeah, you know, this is a new season, new challenges. And I think it's important that, again, supporters are aware of that. You know, it can't be lost in, well, we did this last season. It's all about the here and now and what's looking forwards. That's the way Mike busted people like that, they deal with it. Last season was boxed off within a week of the season finishing, so it's now all about what lies in front because there are some massive challenges. It's going to need to be patience, unquestionably. There's going to be patience shown, but I've got no doubt this club will do all right at this level.
Definitely, and we've got a message from Sam Pennant in the games, but the likes of Notts County, Wrexham, and alongside Oldham will bring a good following. Of course, that is the plus side of playing these bigger sides. Of course, Oldham, they'll be, a lot of their fans will be looking to visit new places. Although we did play them in the FA Cup a few years ago, but now we've got them in the league. We've got one here from Scott Ryan. Unfortunately, losing the two up front, but Mike W's team is not about individuals and building a team that looks really positive for this year. And that's, you know, I think I said it to Mickey as well in private. Obviously, it's very sad to lose players and, you know, we've got to look forward, as Mark said. We could look back at last season and, you know, rose-tinted glasses. It's fantastic. Yes, it's done. It's always something to look back on in time. But now it's to move forward. And, you know, hopefully these young lads that have come in will grasp what Mike and Ian are installing in these lads. And I think I said it last year, whoever comes in is going to have to step up to the standards of what the players are already there. And there's one player I feared for a little bit, and I'll say it publicly. I thought Dan Ward might have been one of the players that maybe might not have been kept on or whatever, even though it's a fantastic season. But he's against Dunstan there, that goal, showing he's still very much in the forefront for being first-team selection. And just because these new players come in doesn't mean they're guaranteed a spot. Everyone's raising the game, and I think we're going to see more of that in the coming weeks.
I think you've seen against Cheltenham how good Dan Ward was.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the best players on the net for us. I mean, they all played really
hard. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's just...
Ward was excellent on the night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just one of the, but the same, maybe the one of the players that goes unsung at times, you know, not that I'm saying that he went unsung, but you know, when you hear about new midfielders coming in, you look, well, who could be going away from here? Who's going to be fighting for their spot? Because we know Ollie's very pivotal to our attacking presence. Bailey's very, you know, pivotal in our defensive and attacking. So there's so much to go on. And who's to say we've been playing the same formation? You know, could it be five at the back? Could it be two up front? We just don't know. So it's exciting. And as I said, I think the players are going to battle it out for who gets to start.
This National League is a different beast than the one we've just been promoted from.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long season and it's long journeys. It's, you know, you'll pick up niggles, you'll pick up knocks, you'll pick up injuries, you'll pick up suspensions. You need a squad at this level. You absolutely need a squad. And I think looking at the moment, I think there'll be probably one more comes in. I've got a little bit on that in the piece I'm doing with Mike. What he wants next, and I think if they get that one or two more, maybe the squad will be in a healthy position to really attack the season. There's a lot of options there. There's a lot of experience. There's some really promising young players. I think there should be nothing, no matter what happens over the rest of pre-season, there should be nothing but positivity going into the regular season, getting underway.
Definitely. Got another message here before we quickly do the winner of the prize. Glad Mike is staying. I'd rather keep a hold of the manager after losing our two best players. I think, obviously, there was a lot of speculation about. There's still this team still has bags of potential with youth and experience mixed into a quality side. And I think that's probably the best way to end it on the messages, because there has been some experience brought in, as well as young and some old heads as well, for the start of this new campaign. Right, well, this is who is, well, we're going to do it now. This is who wins the Macaulay Langstaff signed programme. So there we go. And it is going to be Mr. Luke. There we go. So if you come up against, if I see you at Hebben or at the Harrogate game, I'll give you that programme there. So congratulations, Mr. Luke. Mark, thank you very much for joining us. Sales going to be
as usual, Mark.
Apparently, I don't know how true this is, but there's been a rumour. Ronaldo at the gate said rumoured. Unless he's got a brother or a cousin with a similar name, I don't think it'll be happening. Plus, do we need him? Nah. I don't think he's going to come.
I wonder if he'll play for McDonald's in 3.50.
Well, we managed to get Davey Steele for a Twix on the podcast, and it looks like we need our Twix back because he didn't manage to.
You kept the receipt.
Yeah, watched, and obviously, if you've listened to this, we're going to put the audio up on wherever you get listen to podcasts. Mark, thank you very much for joining us. Always a pleasure, and look forward to sharing the mic with you on a match day. Mickey, thank you again. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah, I nearly forgot. I had that there. Good job. I've got you here to remind us. Of course, friend of the show, friend of ours, a very good friend. Tony Carter is on the board of directors now, big supporter of the club, especially during the dark days. A lot of hours, along with Bernard McWilliams, to help get this club back where it is now. And to have him involved at a higher level is just lovely, and just so proud of him as a friend. Loving it a bit. Yeah. And,
he's come a long way since the
being dressed in the South. Yeah. That's all we can say on that note. But a big thank you. Please do like and subscribe. We'll be back next week. We'll be talking about the Hebben game and Spennymoor games, and of course, previewing the Harrogate game. And we look forward to seeing you all then. And stay safe, and we'll see you soon. Thank you very much for joining us. And I'll just put the outro. Where is it? Say, yeah, I'm out of touch. I'm out of practice. There we go. See you next time.
Auction.